We continue our learning later in Ishmael, Davi ben Menachem, Mishnah, Chaim Yaakov, and Pinchas of Leo. We're in Sukkah, Paragimel, Mishnah, Zayin. Shi'ur Estrog HaKatan, the minimum size of an Estrog. An Estrog has to have the minimum size. We need Gemara Peir. It has to be a fully grown fruit. The Gemara says on Daf Lamed Aleph in the days. So it has to be the size, what we would expect to be a fully grown fruit. Rabbi Meir Omer Koegos. It's enough if it's the size of a nut, and Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kabeitza has to be the size of a beitza of an egg. So obviously the machlokas is, what's the minimum size that an esrog is considered fully grown? Now Tosfos says, there's a difference between the size of the esrog and how mature the esrog is. Meaning an esrog that is, let's say, the minimum size, let's say, according to Rabbi Meir, the size of an egos, let's say. That, it makes it valid even if it's not ripe, and it's going to get it, if you leave it on the tree, it's going to get larger. So therefore, it's okay, because it reached the ego size or the kibetza size, according to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, respectively. But let's say you have an esrog that now I know it's reached its full growth, but it's smaller than this, it's smaller than this size. So that also is not good. That's not going to be good because we can't consider it a fruit unless it has this specific size, and this is an objective size that's needed in general. So we're strict in this on this issue and assume that it has to have this minimum size, even if that's the full potential growth of that particular fruit. We follow Rabbi Yehuda, that esrog smaller than an egg is no good. Has to be at least the size of an egg. Uvagadol, what's the maximum size of the fruit? Kadesha Yochas Shnaim Biyado Achas, Tivir Rabbi Yehuda. What does he say? As long as he can hold two estrogim in one hand, then it's not too big yet. Once you can't hold two estrogim, by holding two, one's going to fall, so then it's going to be a problem. Now, the Gemara in Daf Lamed Aleph in the Beis says that the basis of this halacha is the fact that the luv is supposed to be taken in the right hand and the estrog in the left. What happens? You end up taking them in the wrong hands, and you have to switch hands. You do that, the estrog is may fall if you do that. If it's going to tell me it's too small for to have two in one hand, we're afraid it's going to fall. But if it's small enough that you can hold two estrog in one hand, when you make this switch from the lulav and the estrog to put the lulav in the right hand, the estrog in the left hand, we're not so worried about that. Rabbi Yossi Omer, he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda regarding the maximum size of the estrog, afilu echad b'shtei yadav, even one in two hands, meaning if you have an estrog that's so big that you have to hold it in two hands, is another way of saying that there's no maximum size of the estrog, according to Rabbi Yossi. He says an estrog, even if you need both hands, it's not a problem. He's not worried about if you have to switch hands, you're going to transfer the estrog and you may end up dropping it on the floor. Now, the Ran has a different understanding of Rabbi Yossi and a gersa change. The text, according to him, doesn't say afilu echad b'shtei yadav, even one estrog in one hand, but rather afilu b'shtei yadav. What does it mean, even in both hands? He means that Rabbi Yossi says he disagrees conceptually with Rabbi Yehuda, meaning there's no, what was the whole issue? The whole issue was, oh, well, since you have to take the lulav and the rein and the estrog in the left hand, and you're going to have a problem holding it, and you may have to switch. Says Rabbi Yossi, no, according to the Ran, no. Afilu b'shtei adav means that there's no requirement to take the dal and minim together. Even if I use both hands for the estrog, and then I pick up the other three minim separately, I get the mitzvah. That's what he means. There's no fear, right? Of course there's no fear of dropping the esrog, because, and the Bahag holds this way as well, that the mitzvah of the Dalman can be performed by picking up lulav and then the esrog and the other minim separately, as long as all of the four are sitting in front of you. And other Rishonim disagree, Rabbi Natan, for example, you have to hold them simultaneously. Paragimel Mishnah Ches Ein Ogdim Es Halulav Ela Bimino Diver Rabbi Yehuda. You can only bind the lulav with its own min, with its own species, which means it has to be at least part of the palm tree. It can be a strip from the bark. That's okay. Something that's growing around the bark, that's also okay. It doesn't have to be from the lulav itself. We usually use a piece of the lulav itself. It doesn't matter, but it has to be from its min. Now you'll say, "Aye, this is not so pretty." That's okay. After all, you want to have the according to Rabbi Yehuda, the din of hadar Hadar only applies to the Esrog, according to him, doesn't apply to the Lulav, so we don't have this problem anyway. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, there's an additional explanation. What do you mean, Ein Ogdim is Alulav Ela Bimino? And Rabbi Yehuda believes Lulav Tzarech Eged, which means that there's an obligation to ensure that the other, meaning the Hadassim and Aravas, are bound to the Lulav. So that's an essential part of the mitzvah. If that's true, then you have to use the material that's used for the mitzvah. Using any other material would be a potential problem of Baal Tosif. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says you have to be Oge the Lulav Kibimina because Lulav Tzarech Eged. Rabbi Meir Omer no Afilu B'Meshicha. You can even use a cord. Something else, you want to bind the Hadassim and Aravos with a string or a rope or something else, that's perfectly okay. Why? Because conceptually, Rabbi Meir holds Lulav Ein Tzarech Eged. There's no obligation to do so. So if you took all four of them without tying them together, you get the mitzvah anyway. So using any binding material, it's not a problem. Yeah, it's not an essential part of the mitzvah. So it doesn't need to be one of the minim part of the lulav. Not necessary at all. Aye. Nonetheless, Dav Gemara and Dav Lamed Gimel says, Rabbi Meir holds, lichatchila, we should bind it with its material. There's lulav ain't tzarech eged, but at least there is a mitzvah lechatchila to bind it together. That's lanoi. Now you want to make it lanoi, it's only to make it beautiful, so then you can use anything you like. And then even brings a support for that. Amar Rabbi Meir, Maisa Banche Yushalayim. There was a story with the Ben of Yushalayim. So you og dimis lulvein begimonio shel zav. They would bind their lulavim with these golden cords. So obviously that shows you that you didn't need to use its own material. That's my proof. So Amulo, the Chachamim said back, who agreed with Rabbi Yehuda, Bimino hayu ogdim oso milamata. No, below they did tie with its min. Meaning these Jews of Yishalayim, they did tie the others together, the Hadassim and Aravos to the lulav with it, lulav material, like Rabbi Yehuda and lulav tzarech eged, and it's not an issue, and therefore there would be potential problem of Baal Tosif if you would use something other than the lulav. What happened here was that they used lulav material to bind them together, and then to make the mitzvah even more beautiful, they placed this golden cord on top. But because they had already bound them together with lulav material, this additional piece was not considered a problem of Baal Tosif. And this also, Rabbi Meir, doesn't seem to prove your point, which means that, yeah, they may have had these gimonio shelzav, but they also had a real eged with the material of the lulav itself.